Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We go to the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and we welcome in Mary Kay Cabot from the Cleveland Plain Dealer. She joins us right now on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, and she covers the Cleveland Browns for a living, and she's done so for a very long time and does it better than just about anybody out there. Mary Kay, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing very well so far. Now it's 8:22 a.m. by 4 p.m. Could we hear any surprising names that could opt out of the 2020 season who currently are on the Cleveland Browns roster?
Well, you know, I think we're all kind of wondering, based on Odell's comments to, you know, to the Wall Street Journal and in the bigger picture with Cam and Todd Gurley, if he's going to, you know, by 4 o'clock today, stick with it or say, you know, I don't want to do this. But I was told by multiple sources the other day after the Wall Street Journal article posted that he has no plans of opting out. So, you know, I believe that that's the case. And, you know, the only way that that's going to happen is if he has a change of heart by 4 p.m. today, because as of the other day when that came out, that was not in his line of thinking. Another guy that I have an eye on is Chad Thomas. Why? Only because he actually tweeted that, you know, he's in a high-risk category and that he also, you know, feels like it's kind of scary to go out there and play amid this coronavirus pandemic. So he's another person that I've been trying to kind of keep my eye on to see if we might hear something from him. I don't think the Browns have any indication that either of those guys are opting out, but again, we'll know by four today.
I think especially in a situation, Chad Thomas, I raised my eyebrow up, but I just like what you said, I was like, okay, I could actually see Chad Thomas doing it. With Odell, I wonder if there's too much at stake and he knows that. Like, we may find out in 2025 or wherever that Odell was definitely trepidatious about playing in the 2020 season during the pandemic year. But I look at him right now, he's had three down years. You have people questioning him. He's questioned himself. He's been through a lot. I think he knows he needs this season professionally.
Well, not only that, you know, $14 million is a lot of money. And even though those contracts toll to next year, most of that is not guaranteed money. So you never really know what can happen down the road. So I would think that, you know, this is an opportunity for him to come in here and establish that he has some really good chemistry with Baker Mayfield and to get his career here really rolling.
Mary Kay, do you think there will be consequences for the players around the league that decide to opt out? What I mean by that is I know the NFL can't do anything to the players, and you heard J.C. Tretter talk about how all the players need to weigh their options, and you've heard some coaches say, hey, yeah, you know, if you don't think it's safe, if it's not safe for you and your family. But we know how NFL organizations feel about players that they don't think are willing to make the sacrifice. Do you think it'll be in the back of their minds, like they'll label those guys as an opt-out guy for the rest of their career?
I absolutely do not think that in any way, shape, or form. There is no way that the NFL and these teams are going to hold it against a guy, especially, I mean, I think in any category, but especially the high-risk category that has to opt out because they're worried about a family member, they're worried about their health, they're worried about something like that. There is no way that anybody in their right mind would hold that against a player. And I know people think, oh, well, you know, this is the NFL and you have to be a tough guy and people will hold that against. No, this is different. This is something that is affecting the entire world, and the NFLPA fought hard to get these stipulations and these protocols from the NFL, and nobody, I just can't imagine that anybody would do that.
Mary Kay, I actually have to disagree in a lot of ways. I'm sorry, Anthony, because, you know, I and Lima, you just alluded to it a little bit. Like a guy like Jack Del Rio, He said the NFL probably wouldn't be thrilled with his comments because they asked him about guys opting out. And I'm thinking, you know, the Browns, I think they are a forward-thinking organization. I agree with you about the Browns, but boy, I still think there's some of those old-style football guys who, if they're still left in charge with some certain organizations, I don't think there's going to be room at the end for some of these guys in 2021. I regret to say so.
Well, I mean, the first thing that any team, if there was any hint of anything like that, the NFLPA would jump in so fast with grievances, and a team is just not going to want to deal with the fallout and the aftermath if they even come close to trying to hold something against a player that did what they felt was right. And I just, you know, I'm going to hold the teams to a higher standard and say that's not going to happen.
Mary Kay Cabot, join us on the hotline. We saw some good news yesterday when it came to baseball, that after the flurry of positive tests to open up the season and teams having to shut down, there were no new positive tests. So when it comes to the NFL, do we know whether or not they're learning from what has happened in baseball and how they know they can't afford to have players and entire teams miss games?
Well, I'm sure they're learning from the other leagues and the other teams, and they're seeing what's going on, and they're talking amongst each other. The medical doctors, the staffers are talking to each other, the trainers, the people that are in charge of keeping the team safe. I really do think that they are learning from each other, and they would be foolish not to. So hopefully the NFL will continue to have the benefit of prior knowledge and time on its hands, and also hopefully for the NFL and for every other sports league and for the world, that the herd immunity is going to start to happen, and the curve will come down, and it won't be something that, you know, that derails these seasons.
Mary Kay, let's talk about some of the comments from Austin Hooper yesterday. He made mention of the fact that he's going to be a team guy with the tight ends in that room. How do you think that is going to work this year? Ken and I have talked tremendous amount of time about the touches that all these guys are going to try to get. How do you think that's going to look when they get out on the field?
Well, you know, it is going to be interesting to see how Kevin Stefanski divvies up the pie. I mean, my goodness, not everybody is going to be able to have 75 catches, 1,000 yards, and 6 to 8 touchdowns. It's just not going to happen that way. So they're going to have to figure out who does what best and when. They're going to have to figure out their identity. And the other thing to remember is what they need to figure out is, you know, Baker Mayfield is going to go where he feels comfortable with the football. So if he doesn't feel that he has chemistry or timing with a player, then he's not going to look there as often as he will someone he feels he can connect with a little bit more easily. So I do think it's significant that, you know, that Austin Hooper said yesterday that, you know, those two trips that he took to Austin, Texas, and spent all that time with Baker Mayfield, and they're becoming really good friends. I think that makes a difference in terms of camaraderie on the field, off the field, and he feels like they have a really good head start.
Is that an off-season win for the Cleveland Browns?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you have to do everything that you possibly can in this COVID marred season to, you know, to try to get an edge. Now, they couldn't do it all the time because the union basically put the kibosh on players getting together and doing that after a certain point. But they squeezed in a couple of sessions before that mandate, or at least that suggestion, came down, and I think it helped them a lot.
They better watch out. We don't need another Harbaugh bitching about football players getting together and working out like we just saw up in Ann Arbor. That's neither here nor there, Mary Kay. So when I saw the story about the Saints trying to simulate a type of a bubble, I was curious if that was even going to be okay under the collective bargaining agreement. And what would other teams do to try to match something like that? I mean, obviously, we've heard really good things about Stefanski and how seriously they're taking all of this. But, man, the Saints, if they're going to do something like that, I feel like other teams are going to have to do that.
Well, the thing about the protocols and the policies right now is everybody's willing to, as Kevin Stefanski always says, pivot. I mean, they're willing to change. And if they feel like they have to take stronger measures to keep this season going forward and to keep their players healthy, then maybe they'll do that. Some players are taking it upon themselves to take extra measures. J.C. Treader's wife is expecting. He's staying in a hotel right now. He does not want to put anybody at risk, to put his unborn child at risk or his wife. And, you know, so these are things that players are, you know, if they don't end up in a bubble, maybe they can put themselves in a little bit of a bubble. But I think, once again, that it's a fluid situation.
Mary Kay Cabot with us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. I want to ask you about Jarvis Landry here in a moment, but this almost took off yesterday, and we got a lot of college football stuff we got to yesterday, so we kind of put it on the back burner. I want you to listen to some comments from Ben Roethlisberger just a couple of days ago on a Zoom call. Kid, hit it.
I think any athlete, any competitor will tell you they want to go out on their own terms, right? And it doesn't happen all the time. We don't always get lucky, whether that's trades, cuts, injuries, whatever that is. And so I think if I had felt that I was closer to the end, it might have been more of a decision for me to think longer about coming back or not. But I didn't feel that I'm close to that yet. I'm not saying I've got 10 years left in me, but I definitely feel like I've got some really good years left in me. So that was definitely a motivating factor, was coming back and showing that I still have it in the tank. I still have a lot to give this team. I still have a lot to give the fans. And I still want to win Lombardi's. And I say that with a plural on the end.
Says it with a plural. Mary Kay, now that Ben Roethlisberger has returned, who has a better shot to get to a Super Bowl, Ben Roethlisberger or Baker Mayfield?
Wow, that's a great question.
Damn
and I
right.
Think that it really is. It's a great question. I think that the thing that I keep looking at with Ben Roethlisberger is, you know, how is this elbow going to respond? I mean, if this was maybe a torn ACL, I would say absolutely at the age of 38, he can come back and win multiple Lombardis. But nobody's ever had a surgery like this before, where you tear three tendons off the bone and then you want to come out and win multiple Super Bowls with that. You know what? Just for the sake of you know, him as a human being, I hope he comes back from his injury and I hope he's fine. But I would have to say right now, I might almost put Baker ahead of him for a Super Bowl because of that elbow surgery.
Kenny?
Whoa! No, I'm going to do it myself. Super Bowl!
Wow, Mary Kay. Send that clip to Pittsburgh immediately. That's going
to
get running all day on
Lana's,
our sister station.
Take that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it.
Well, the other thing to consider about Ben Roethlisberger is, you know, he plays just like Baker. He plays better when he has a chip on his shoulder. He plays better when he feels like, you know, people overlooked him. And
Big
and
Ben doesn't even have a shoulder.
Nope.
Right. Well, you know, this might give him, you know, sort of a renewed hunger for the game and get him fired up in a way that maybe we haven't seen in a number of years. So, once again, I think it all comes down to how the elbow responds once he actually gets out there and starts playing.
Sub question, is 4 pounds of lean mass good? Because we had people calling in saying that's not much. Baker Mayfield putting on 4 pounds of lean mass.
You know what? I mean, it depends on what else is happening. You know, he trimmed body fat. He added lean muscle mass. So I would have to say that that's pretty good from a percentage standpoint. So, you know, you can just tell he just looks better. I remember when he showed up last year for camp, I turned to somebody that works for the Browns, and I said, he looks a little, you know, he looks beefier. And in fact, he did. He beefed up last year so that he could withstand the hits and the blows and take those sacks and get on back up. But this year he wants to be more agile. He wants to be quicker. He wants to, you know, bootleg and roll out and do all the things that he's going to do in this offense. And he looks the part right now.
Beefy Baker Mayfield, no longer the chonky boy. I'm loving it, Mary Kay. I'm loving every minute of it. Go ahead, Tone. Ask her about
it. All-time high the rest of the way.
Oh, my God. Ask her about Jarvis or whatever else you want to. I don't care.
You know, there was a piece on ESPN about Hall of Famers on each team, who could go to the Hall of Fame of each team. And because after you just got us excited about potentially going and winning multiple Lombardis for the Cleveland Browns, Jarvis Landry, should he be getting some discussion if he continues on this trajectory?
Yeah, I've actually had this conversation with Jarvis. I think that he's starting to get up into that conversation of Hall of Fame. I mean, if he tacks on 3 or 4 more Pro Bowl seasons to this, then you have to talk about him in that way. He's done things early on in his career and reached milestones quicker than a lot of other players have, and I think he's in that could be construed as a Hall of Fame season if he continues it again for about 3 or 4 more years.
Got to play in some big games, though. They got to get to some big games, Mary Kay. They got to play in the postseason. I mean, it's I know.
That helps. Yeah, that definitely helps. I mean, these guys, I mean, you definitely will get way more consideration for all of those types of accolades if you can get yourself into postseason games and a Super Bowl.
Lamy, got anything else?
Do you think now with a loss there on the defensive line that they're going to be active? I know you've talked about Yannick and Ngakoue. Is that how you pronounce it, Mary Kay? You've been better at it than me. Is that somebody who they could still pursue?
Great question.
That is how you pronounce it. And you know, again, they have looked into it previously. It doesn't seem to be on the front burner right now. But it is something that I would do, Yannick. I would try to make that trade just because I think it sets you up to have amazing bookends for the next 5-6 years. He's only 25 years old. He's a good, solid pass rusher. Those are not that easy to find, and I think you can get him for a lot less than Jamal Adams went for. So I would do that trade.
Mary Kay, I can't thank you enough for the time. I'm so excited now, Mary Kay. I love it. I absolutely love it. If I didn't get thrown in the hooscow for doing so, I'd give you a great big hug right now, but I'm not allowed to. No one's allowed to touch each other. Thank you so much.
Well, I'm glad I made your day, Ken.
Thank you very much. Take care, Mary Kay.
You too, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Mary Kay Cabot on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Oh, Lima, we got to talk about that when we come back. I'm excited. It's Ken Carman with Anthony Lima, live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.